Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Catholic Doctors, discussing medicine in light of church teaching. And now, The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek.
Welcome to The Catholic Doctors Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. This is your co-host in studio with Dr. Will Turek. Will, how are you this afternoon?
Great, great.
Doing well?
It's good. It's all good.
It is all good.
You know, I mean, all things work to the good for those who are in Christ, right?
That's right. Absolutely. You know, Will, I heard an interesting fact. I don't know. I guess it's a fact.
Yeah.
And it will deal with our show today. Mm-hmm. That three of the major chains are pulling pornography out of their rooms.
I have heard that.
Did you hear that? I heard that.
I don't know where I read that, but that really is very interesting to me.
It is.
That these chains would have the foresight to realize that, you know, this is such a temptation especially for traveling people who are just alone and, you know, just passing through a city. I mean, I appreciate that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's a great step in what we're seeing with pornography and the fight against pornography and the actual addiction of pornography.
Right.
Because, you know, hotels are one place where it's easily and readily available in secrecy and in private where nobody's going to know except if they see your bill.
Right. And to kind of connect that up, we've not ever done this type of show, but I'd like to. We've talked about the idea of trafficking. I guarantee you that has probably motivated that pullout.
Right. And amazingly, Columbus, Ohio, during certain events of the year, has a high incidence of sex trafficking.
Right. So, you know, the Arnold Classic and some of these events can be, you know, the NCAA, we usually have at least a game or two, you know.
Right.
So, yeah.
There can be a huge risk. But one of the, you know, something we need to, we've talked about this before on our program, and that is the addiction of pornography. But we've mainly looked at it from the male perspective and as an addiction, really.
Right. Because men are more visual. Men tend to be stimulated in that way by images.
Right.
So, you know, but obviously that's not across the board. That's a generalization that seems to be being overturned in some respects.
But one thing we've never looked at is the effect on women and on the wives of men addicted to pornography. And fortunately, our guest today and his wife, Matt and Cameron Fratt, have written a book that's called Restored, True Stories of Love and Trust After Pornography. And Matt is the executive director of The Porn Effect, a website dedicated to helping men and women break free from pornography, who himself has dealt with his addiction to pornography. He is the editor of Delivered, True Stories of Men and Women Who Turned from Porn to Purity, and co-author of Victory, A Strategic Battle Plan for Freedom for the Struggle Against Pornography. His wife, Cameron, can't be with us today, but she spends most of her time raising four energetic and beautiful children in Georgia, where she lives with the husband, Matt Fratt, she loves, and a cat she tolerates. So let's welcome Matt Fratt to the Catholic Doctor Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Matt, how are you today?
I'm good. It's good to be back on with you. Thank you for having me.
Well, Matt, this book is just a line in a series that you've done about pornography and the addiction to pornography. But this book kind of takes a different angle in looking at it from the women's perspective, being married to men who have had pornography addiction. Tell us a little bit about the impetus for you and your wife to write this book and to deal with this topic.
For the past several years, I've traveled the country and internationally, speaking almost exclusively on the issue of pornography. And I appreciate what you said at the top of the show, that this is by no means a male-only problem. After all of the talks that I give at high schools and universities, I am almost always approached by just as many women as I am men who are looking for help from this. But one thing we began to realize a couple of years ago is that while there is resources for men who are looking at pornography and wish to stop, there are resources for women, thank God, who are looking at pornography and want to stop. There's some fantastic resources out there for us to protect our children, but there really wasn't much out there for spouses, and in particular, wives. And usually after one of my talks, I usually have a wife come up to me, and she'll tell me about her husband's porn use. And she'll say something like this: what can I do about him? How can I help him? And that always sort of bothered me, and I couldn't tell why until I finally realized that this woman has experienced betrayal trauma. And a question she ought to be asking before those questions, which are fine questions, is what can I do about me? How can I help me? How can I help myself heal? And if they did ask that, I didn't have a lot of things to point them to. Now, there are some very good things, but we wanted to sort of throw our hat in the ring. And so we reached out to about 10 wives that we know through doing this sort of apostolate. And 10 wives who we knew were phenomenal authors and had very heartbreaking but inspirational stories to share. And so we invited them to do that. And so that's why the book is, you know, it's written slash edited by Cameron and me. So those who get this are going to be reading, you know, some heartbreaking but inspirational stories from women, which can be very encouraging.
No, they are very good stories. And I would recommend that you read, even if you don't struggle with, you know, addiction to pornography, you're eventually going to know somebody who's going to be affected by pornography. And all these stories, they are heart-wrenching at times, but they do have wonderful stories of healing and redemption. And one of the, you know, I go back to the point you just made, that they say, what can I do about him? And what I found in many of these stories is that these women had to see that they had to go through a healing process and some type of restorative process themselves before they could really start to heal the whole marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. Spot on.
Well, you know, I thought it was very interesting as I was reading the introduction that your wife wrote, that 70% of these wives deal with some measure of post-traumatic stress disorder. That was striking to me.
Yeah, in that study, I forget how many women that they surveyed, but what they discovered through this survey is that women whose husbands were either acting out sexually or looking at pornography were exhibiting signs identical with post-traumatic stress disorder. And so today, many counselors and psychiatrists and psychologists are beginning to speak about this phenomena of betrayal trauma. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And the thing is that, you know, in my travels, in my own practice, I deal with a lot of, I work at for the government, and I do deal with a lot of folks who have PTSD. And the thing is that, you know, there's a certain image that people have of PTSD, and, you know, I think that definition is being expanded quite a bit. I mean, to include lots of emotional and psychological traumas that up to this point really wouldn't necessarily be classified to the level of wartime trauma. So I think it's an amazing revelation, and it speaks to how devastating this phenomenon is.
Yeah, indeed. I think what we need to encourage among our engaged couples and perhaps those dating looking towards engagement, so they absolutely need to discuss this. I think it's a matter of justice that a spouse knows what he or she is getting into. And these sorts of questions need to be raised in marriage prep, and the appropriate resources need to be pointed to so that people can begin the process of healing.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that, because in many of these stories, the men had been active in their porn addiction or addiction to masturbation prior to their marriage, but it's rarely, if ever, brought up within the marriage prep program.
And yeah, which is a terrible shame, really.
Right, but I guess, you know, it was also brought out in some of the stories that in many people they thought, well, this is normal. This is what guys do. They just kind of go through this process. Does that message or the message that society is sending to women about pornography actually kind of glossing this over and preventing them and their husbands from getting true help and true healing?
Yeah, I think sometimes. I think one of the reasons this is such a difficult issue is that the wife will perhaps take one of two approaches. The first is just to dismiss it, as you say, and try and tell herself that this is okay, that this is normal, that she's overreacting, that
boys
she might
will be
frigid
boys.
Or a prude. And then the other side is she just suffers in silence, and she doesn't want to bring this up to a girlfriend, perhaps, because she doesn't want to drag her husband's name through the mud, and she doesn't want to ruin him in her sight, sort of thing. And so for that reason, I think a lot of wives will suffer in silence. And as you know, in the book, it's not just the husbands who are looking at porn in the marriage. One of those stories you'll remember, I think it was Christina. Mm-hmm. She talks about how she encouraged her husband to watch porn with her and all of the chaos that brought about in her marriage. So I like to say that pornography doesn't complement sexual intimacy with one's spouse. Rather, it competes with it. There is nothing intimacy conducing about turning your eyes from the one you ought to be giving your attention to and turning it onto a screen to watch, emotionally damaged and, I think it's probably fair to say, in some cases, physically diseased actors pretending to enjoy sex.
Right. And I think in many of the stories, and especially in Christine's story and the one other story where they use pornography to kind of increase their what they called intimacy, it eventually led to emptiness and lack of fulfillment within their relationship.
Yeah, and it's funny, sometimes people will use the intimacy as to be synonymous with pleasure, right?
Correct.
And of course, there's lots of things that we can do to make sex more pleasurable, but they might be completely immoral. Like, suppose a husband said to his wife, if I make love to my mistress before coming home, I'm a lot more excited and I tend to please you better, therefore that's okay. Those sorts of things are laughable. They're ridiculous. And just the end goal isn't like increased pleasure at all costs. I think the end goal is how do I love my spouse, and how do I learn to please them, and how do I lay my life down for them? I think that's what true intimacy is going to involve.
Well, in that vein, though, that a woman may bring this into their relationship. What I find interesting is that there are still psychologists out there and therapists who recommend this and still think that somehow this can be a redeeming factor in a failed relationship or in a failing relationship. And I actually had this discussion with one of my college age kids, my daughter, who she's right now, kind of the culture. And she says, "Oh, Dad, you don't understand, that this is can actually be helpful in enhancing intimacy." And I said, if there's a professor that told you this, that this professor is sorely misguided.
Yeah. And I'd ask your daughter, what do you think intimacy is? And I like to define it as it's been said, into me see, right? It's the sort of unveiling of each other that all of us desire to know and to be known, to see and to be seen, to love and to be loved. And there is nothing, as I say, I don't mean to repeat myself, but intimacy conducing about turning away from this person who ought to be the center of my attention.
Right.
Now, if people are interested in getting some hard and fast facts on what the statistics really do show, I'd encourage people to go to my website, thepornEffect.com. And under articles and media, I have a whole section called Porn's Effects. And there's an article called Porn and Marriage, or The Porn Effects on Marriage. And I cite 10 different experts and peer-reviewed journals that are all sort of saying, listen, if you want a failed marriage, pornography is a helpful way to bring that about.
You're listening to the Catholic Doctor Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, and we have with us on the phone Matt Frad, who with his wife Cameron have edited the book Restored, True Stories of Love and Trust After Pornography. And Matt, I think a lot of that goes back to we've lost what the true definition of love is, and love is a verb, and to act in the best interest of the person, but also that as Catholics, we look at it as we want to get our spouses into heaven. And throughout your stories that are in this book, we see that the wife finds out that their husband is addicted to pornography. They can't understand why they're doing it. And the first thing they feel is guilt, or that they're just not good enough, or if they had been good enough, it would have been best for them. But that's not the true. That's not the true nature of the addiction. There, it's that many times these men brought it into the marriage because of something that was going on earlier in their life. There's several stories there where one husband who was exposed to pornography when he was 7 years old or sexually abused. Another who was watching pornography with the Boy Scouts or whoever it was. And those early times, you make in there that it make the point in there that it kind of locks them in that emotional state that they're in right there, and they can't really progress out of that at that time. And so, this addiction usually starts before. It's not the fault of the woman, right?
That's right. And so much could be said here, but let me just sum it up by saying this: thinking you can cure a porn addict with more sex. That's sort of like thinking you can cure a gambling addict by giving him bags of money, right? Right. I mean, it's just, right. In one sense, you think, oh, yeah, that would cure it because that's what he's after, the money. And then you realize, wait, I guess he isn't. I guess he's become addicted to the excitement and to the thrill of the chase. And for him, it's sort of become an escape behavior where he has learned, as you say, perhaps from a young age, how to deal with negative emotions, feeling rejected, emasculated, dismissed, invisible. He's trained himself to turn to something that gives him an immediate sense of excitement and gratification. And it's sort of become like the pacifier he turns to. If there's women out there who are thinking that they're to blame, let me just say this, okay? Listen, it's not your fault that you are not tens of thousands of two-dimensional internet women.
Right.
It's kind of funny because obviously that's the case. It's not your fault that you don't become sexually euphoric at the drop of a hat, like right. the porn women, right?
Right.
So this is a very important point to understand. Sure. I think the book will help women realize that if they are struggling with that.
Sure. Well, Matt, so we've set up the problem. I mean, this is clearly a pandemic. There are a lot of couples being affected by it. We all know couples. I mean, Mike is an OBGYN. I'm a family doctor. We hear this repeatedly over and over and over again, that various damaged relationships. How do we get out of this? What does a wife do when this is something in her marriage and she wants to repair it?
Yeah, a couple of things. I think this is important to realize that some things can only be healed by the antiseptic light of truth. And this is certainly the case for those who are suffering betrayal trauma. And so if there's a woman listening to me right now who is suffering in silence, then my encouragement to her would be to bring this into the light with somebody that you trust. And preferably, I think, another woman. And let me recommend two other resources other than my book that I think can be very helpful. One is bloomforwomen.com, B-L-O-O-M, forwomen.com. This is a beautiful online website for women who are suffering betrayal trauma and want to find online healing, which is in many ways the first step for a lot of women
who don't
want to
initially
come out.
I've gone to that website, and it's phenomenal. It really has wonderful resources there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's that one. I'd also recommend togethernessproject.org. The Togetherness Project is like this beautiful army of women around the country who are supporting each other through local chapters, through annual conferences. So I think if you're a wife out there and you're looking for a way out, I think that's like a 1, 2, 3 kind of, that would get you in the right direction by getting my book Restored, going to Bloom for Women and going to Togetherness Project. I think that'll really kind of put you on the right path.
Right.
In regards to how can a woman begin to heal, that would be the question. That would be a point. Now, I would say this, that if a wife's husband is just completely against healing and is bringing pornography into the marriage, and it's he has created a toxic environment for their family, then I would encourage a woman to speak to a spiritual director and discern moving out. And that is different to divorcing, right? I'm not necessarily saying divorce, but I'm saying that when somebody creates a toxic environment, you are not morally obligated to remain in that toxic environment. Now, obviously, that's not a light decision, an easy decision to make. It shouldn't be made hastily or with emotion, but I think it's something that should be discerned with maybe a counselor, a Christian counselor, hopefully, or a priest.
Yeah, I think you know, probably a better way for that, even in that toxic environment, moving out or whatever, is setting boundaries. And in a lot of these stories of healings, these women didn't really start, you know, they could talk to their husband about stopping the behavior as the first step, but they really couldn't start healing until they either connected to a deeper part of their faith or somebody else, a support group or something else. But setting those boundaries was extremely important to that healing process, because you don't want to just start feeding into the behavior. You want to set those boundaries.
Yeah, that's right. And it really is. I mean, if we're talking about the man who's got this issue, it's really important that he be 110% on board. And, you know, I met a woman recently. You know, she's engaged to a man who is doing everything in his power to begin to walk in freedom. And we should point out that freedom from this stuff is not so much a destination as it is a daily choice that we make by our actions. Right.
Right.
And so there is no silver bullet. There is. I mean, if there were, I would buy it and sell it, you know, but there isn't. And I think we need to certainly think about the spiritual approach, but we also need to take into consideration accountability, software and filtering and counseling. And let me just say this, because I get a lot of emails from young men in particular who tell me they are so fed up with pornography and they will do anything just to quit. And lately, I've kind of been getting a little tough with them. I'm like, I don't want to waste my time with you if you're not serious. If you want to quit, I can help you, but I need to know that you're serious.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'll give them a few very simple things that they need to begin doing. And more than once, I've had guys just not write me back. They're just not interested.
Yeah.
So I think it's so important that the one who is struggling with this particular compulsion they need to be all on board about healing. You need to be serious about recovery.
Yeah, it's sort of like the man that came up to Jesus and said, "What must I do to follow you? I followed all of your rules." You know, until he can give up on that last thing, he has to completely give up of himself before he can truly start to heal himself from this addiction.
Well, you know, and I think it would be worth mentioning here that there is a 12-step program for Sex Addicts Anonymous. I mean, that is, you know, and 12-step programs have validity. They have been, you know, tried and true. They're not for everybody, but they certainly can help to give that accountability and to give that measure of togetherness with others who share this addiction.
Yeah, preach. Absolutely. I've never met a therapist or a counselor who has not recommended the 12 steps. So that I would strongly encourage that.
And many of the women in the stories have gone either through 12-step programs as well as their husbands at the same time, sometimes going to the same meeting places where they have concurrently running meetings. And, you know, one of the hard things about this is addiction is developing that trust to come back. And one of my favorite quotes in the book is, you put 100% trust only in God and trust only the behaviors of the addict. To try and restore that trust back to the marriage. I thought that was such a powerful comment there that, you know, we really do need to trust that God has a plan to make all of us the persons that we are meant to be. And the healing process is going, like you said, going to take a long time, and it's a daily thing, and it lasts a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Yep, indeed.
So. And change is possible. I mean, you know, no situation is devoid of Christ's grace if you're open to it. You know.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I wrote a book a couple of years ago called Delivered, right? And
right.
that was
yes.
a book of stories of men and women who turned to purity from pornography. And I mean, that book sold like 50,000 copies in a couple of years because those stories are so beautiful, they're so honest, and they're so hopeful. And so if people don't really believe that healing is possible, I'd say, you know, get that book or... I don't know. Certainly, the stories are abundant of men and women who are really choosing to walk in freedom. And I like to say this. I think struggling with pornography can actually be an effective way to become a saint. And what I mean is struggle doesn't mean give in to, even though we use it that way. Struggle means to violently resist, yeah?
Right.
Yeah, and if I'm violently resisting pornography, then I'm growing in different virtues. I'm growing in gentleness and self-mastery and prudence and moral courage. And I'm really becoming a more interesting, well-rounded individual. And what a wonderful opportunity we have to choose Christ over the ubiquity and immediacy of pornography these days.
Right. You know, we actually talked before the show about St. Mary of Egypt, who was a prostitute and was most definitely turned in her ways from this life. So, I mean, there redemption is possible in Christ.
Sure.
Yeah. Amen.
So, Matt, you've mentioned some good websites for us. Your website, thepornoffect.com, bloomforwomen.com, and togethernessproject.org. I also want to make a ploy for a local thing called the Angelic Warfare Confraternity that's put on by our Dominican parish here that's, I think, absolutely wonderful. And then the My House organization that runs through the Diocese of Columbus here. But, Matt, where can people get copies of the book that you and your wife have written?
Thanks. If they go to restoredbook.com, that's how they can get them. They can read a free story right there, no email or anything. Just click it. You can read the free story. It's beautiful. And then people can buy the book in bulk for $2 a book. And these are big books, right? They're like 150 pages or something. But we're just trying to pump that book out there. So I beg people, you know, if you're in charge of a women's group or a small group, if you're a priest or if you're a youth minister or a catechist, speak to your priest about buying a couple of boxes of these. I mean, one box of 20, it's just going to cost you $40, you know.
Sure.
You just want to get this into the hands of people who might be a little embarrassed to buy it for themselves.
Absolutely.
And I do want to say that this is a problem that we need to really take care of. And, Matt, we want to thank you again for coming on the Catholic Doctor Show, production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. You've been listening to the Catholic Doctor Show. Until next week, we hope your week is happy, healthy, and holy.
God bless.
The Catholic Doctors is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek are available at stgabrielradio.com.